are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
It is getting there. It is getting there. Yes, I was there. Welcome. So we are in our conversation about the third angel's message. We are, in fact, the three angels' message conversation here, and we are about to wrap it up. And that is found in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verses 6 to 12, right? So that is the three angels' message. And then as we wrap it up, right, there is some debate somewhere. I don't ask me where, but I do know that people sometimes, you know, they bring this up saying, "Hi, whoa, there's another angel there." In fact, as I was introducing this, someone here in studio was like, "But there are seven angels." I was like, whoa. Men only know of three, you know, but there are arguments that there is a fourth angel's message. Why is it that we are only focusing on the three? And then that is found in the book of Revelation, chapters 18. So I don't know if it is the fourth angel's message or it's a repetition. I don't know, but we do know that we have our historian and our pastor theologian, you know, who's going to be helping us to unpack that. We're joined on the line by Pastor Michael Maforo. Mfu, good morning. How are you? Unmute, Pele, Mfundisi.
Good morning. How are you? I'm following you.
I'm good. Are you, Pastor?
Yes, talk to me. What's happening today?
Kuningi, Mfundisi. You know, let's pray first because this one, let's pray first, Mfundisi.
Okay, let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for starting it. We pray that you help us understand it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, we've dealt with the three angels' message. Now we know what the first angel was saying, the second angel, the third angel. We have studied that and we appreciate that. Thank you so much. But then there are some people that may argue, Mfundiswami, I don't know where they're getting the argument. As me, I'm also a student of the Bible. They're saying, "Hi, whoa, there is a fourth angel's message that is coming through in the book of Revelation, chapters 18. I won't quite read it because it's quite long. It's from verse 1 up until around verse 20 or so. But the first part of it, it says, "After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven. He had the great authority, and the earth was illuminated by his splendor. With a mighty voice, he shouted, 'Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a home for demons and a hound for every evil spirit, a hound for every unclean and detestable bird.'" So it goes on and on and on up until verses 20. Point is, what's going on there? Is that a fourth angel's message or?
Okay, let me be very careful in answering this one because of the different debates that are there and probably support my own understanding, which obviously I stand to be corrected and educated in that light in case I may misrepresent something. But from my studies, I've discovered that the Bible only teaches the three angels' messages.
Okay.
And then when it comes to chapter 18, it is simply an echo of the three angels' messages. It's still the same message that is coming in, being emphasized in a different way. To give it a distinct message on its own, I think we'll be robbing the power and the light of the three angels' message. Because I believe the fourth angel simply comes to enlighten the three angels' messages, especially in particular the second angel's message. But more, it's coming in to buttress the very principles and the teachings that are given in the three angels' message. However, for me, it's not really a bone of contention. We shouldn't really argue whether there's a third or a fourth. We must embrace the message that it is given because it is found in the Bible. And every scripture is written by the inspiration of God.
Okay. So you're saying that we shouldn't... Oh, there's an echo in this one.
Okay. I think it's because you called on the other phone. But anyway, it's fine.
Oh, sorry. So you're saying that in essence, the three angels' message is the main one. And then this one that we are getting here... it's actually more detailed of the second angel's message.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I am saying that we need to understand this so-called, you know, in quotes, fourth angel's message as an echo of the three angels' messages. In other words, it's simply a Bible text which comes in not merely as a distinct message, but it comes in to magnify the three angels' messages in itself.
Yagos, I wanted to quote something here, but then now it's like, you know, when you're reading the Bible and you're in class, some things, you know, you see them and then you don't see them. Okay. And when you are saying that it's echoing, because when we look at, for example, verses 1b, if I can call it that, up until 3, it's actually the exact same replica of what the angel, the second angel, has actually said. So why, Mfundiswami, would we have people arguing that no, it's not an echo. That is a totally different angel from the second one.
Okay. I may not give reasons why they argue that. I want you to understand my position. Now my position is not necessarily on whether it's the first or second or third or the fourth. I'm saying that doesn't matter. What matters is the message that it carries and the emphasis that it gives. So whether it's the fourth or the fifth is not salvific. It's not a subject that we should dwell upon. But what we should really understand is the message that it gives in light of the three angels' messages. And this is what I'd like us to embrace on, because it carries a very powerful a message that glorifies, or rather that gives light, even much light, should I put it that way, to the three angels that that are seen in chapter 14.
Okay, it is sorted, Mfundiswami. We have sivalile. Sivalile, your fourth angel, Mfundiswami, sivalile. But as we have closed that one, Mfundiswami, I think that so far we have all, I don't know about our listeners, they can let me know, but we have all understood the importance of the third angel's message, right? And also adding these additions to it, the echoing part of it into that particular message. So looking at this, Mfundiswami, as we are wrapping it up, what should we take into the year? Because sometimes we forget what our mission is. Sometimes we forget what our mandate is, you know. What should we remember when it comes to the three angels' message as we go into the year, as we face the trials and tribulations, as we come back with our testimonies? What should we take regarding Revelations 14?
Okay. I had glued my mind on chapter 18 of the book of Revelation. But anyway,
you can add.
We can go there. I wanted to create a distinction and say, the three angels that we see in chapter 14, the Bible says, "Then I saw an angel fly in the midst of the heavens." It does not say, "And I saw an angel come down from heaven." The one in chapter 18 has got that distinction. The Bible says, "And after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven." You see, this one coming down from heaven. The other three simply fly in the midst of the heavens. Okay. And we said, remember, the three angels' messages are not literal angels from heaven, but the three angels' messages are messages that are preached by human beings on earth. That's why the Bible does not say they are coming down from heaven. It says they are flying in the midst of the heavens. So that's the message that we are preaching. Right now, you and I sitting here speaking the word of God through these devices that we have. The message of God is flying in the midst of the heavens. It is going every corner that it can reach. And people are hearing the word and the message of salvation. That's what it means. So when it comes to the one in chapter 14, it buttresses, or rather it emphasizes and it glorifies the message that is preached by human beings all around the world. And it gives a special emphasis, especially on the second angel's message. When it says, "He cried mighty with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen and become the habitation of demons and the haunt of every foul spirit and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird." This is a description of the place where we find ourselves in, the earth where we find ourselves in, the world that we live in, that it has become a habitation of devils. There are devils everywhere. Isn't it amazing that the things that we used to shun as evil, as derogative, as ugly, as I don't know what other word I can use, But today we just say them without thinking twice. Mm-hmm. People are swearing without even thinking twice. Mm. They swear and they don't even see the damage that it brings. They swear in front of their kids. They swear in church, in everywhere. And they don't even care how that comes out. The reason is because we are now accustomed to living in a world that is filled with demons. Mm. Now, Babylon is fallen. Okay? Now, since Babylon is fallen, what is God saying to us? He is saying in verse 3, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich through the abundance of her luxury. Mm. And verse 4 says, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. So God has a judgment for Babylon. Mm-hmm. And the judgment that God has for Babylon, he does not have it for you and for me. Now, here's what I want us to take, especially in this year. God is not angry at you. Mm-hmm. God is not angry at any human being. God is not angry at the children that are trying to worship him. God is not angry at those who are turning to him and are looking for him for salvation. He is not angry at his children at all. See, the picture of God that is given, we're given a picture of God, of a God who is angry, who is carrying a very big whip, and he wants to chastise everyone for the sins that they have committed or for the sins that they are committing. But yet we have a different picture of God right now and today. A picture of a God who has his arms wide open. A picture of a God who says to that man who enters the wedding feast without a gown, and he says, friend, how did you get in without a gown? The tone of the voice depicts that he is willing to help. The description of this man without a wedding gown, he calls him friend. In other words, he's willing to help him out. And that is the picture of God today. But as the questions come, the man without the wedding gown, Matthew 22, he does not answer. And the Bible says he was speechless. Instead of confessing the very reasons why he doesn't have a wedding gown, why he is naked, why he is sinful, he conceals his sins. He conceals his stature. He does not even confess that he has been discovered that he doesn't have a wedding gown. And the Bible says, because he conceals himself, let him be taken and be thrown away and thrown out into the darkness where there is gnashing of teeth. You see, there's a time when God is going to say, enough is enough. Let him that is holy continue to be holy. Let him that is evil continue to be evil. And this is what we find in Revelation 22. Mm. And that is very, very critical in our day to day. You see, you don't become holy when Jesus comes. You become holy now so that when Jesus comes, he will find a holy person or a holy people. When you receive your reward, you don't receive your reward during the course of the work, but it is within the course of the work that you prove yourself worthy of the reward. So Christ says in Revelation 22, behold, I come quickly and my reward is with me. So we are serving a God who is going to come and reward all that have labored in his vineyard and they have proven themselves worthy. But you see, when he says, let him that is holy continue to be holy, let him that is filthy continue to be filthy, no one is going to hear those words. They're going to be uttered and life will continue as normal on planet Earth. But it is only those who have chosen a life of holiness that they are going to continue being holy. And when Christ comes, he will find them holy. So friends, let us raise the first angel's message that is everlasting gospel. Let us be saved. Let us come out of here, my people. Let us keep a distance from sin. Let us shun evil and run away from it. While we come out of Babylon, let us remember not to worship the beast or to bow down before it, because whoever is going to do that is going to suffer, is going to drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out in his cup without mixture. But let us be patient, because this journey of salvation will require us to be patient. For that's why the Bible says in Revelation 14, verse 12, in the third angel's message, this is the patience of the saints. Mm. Here are they keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus Christ. If we carry that and we have that picture, God is guaranteeing us salvation at all costs. Can I say one last thing, probably, which will lift people's hearts? Probably, I don't know, but this lifted my heart. It's in Revelation 22, the very last chapter, and it says something that is interesting about those that are going to be saved. See, if you go to Revelation chapter 22, the Bible says in verse number three and four. Revelation chapter 22. Let's read verse 3 and 4. Can you read it for me?
Yes, I will try, but the echo. Okay, verses 3. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads.
Okay, now this is very, very, very interesting, Zanele, as I wrap up this. The Bible tells us of all those people that are going to be saved, which is us, the servants of God, the Bible says there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. So while we save him, listen to what it says in verse 4, and they shall see his face, number one, and his name shall be on their foreheads, number two. So we shall see his face. Number two, we will have his name on our foreheads. Now, why is this important for our salvation? You see, the whole of creation, we have Jesus Christ, as he was known as the Word of God. He took the form of a man, and we saw him, we beheld him. The Bible says we beheld him. He was full of truth. John chapter 1, verse 14, right? For the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. But the Holy Spirit, no one has really seen the Holy Spirit. We have seen the manifestation of it and the power thereof, which is okay. But when it comes to God the Father, the Bible says no man has seen him. No man has seen the face of God. Even Moses, when the Bible says, not my servant Moses, I speak to him face to face. That was Christ. That's what the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians, that rock was Christ that followed them. But friends, when we get saved, when we finally go to heaven, listen, the privilege and the chance to see God face to face, even angels have not been granted such grace. Why? Because the Bible says, with two wings they fly, with two wings they cover themselves, with two wings they cover their faces. So they don't even look at the face of God. But yet the Bible says, if we get saved, we are going to look at his face, face to face. Oh, I think there's no better news than that one. Because if the rest of creation, the unfallen worlds, the people that dwell in planets that were never fallen, have not seen God face to face, we will have the privilege of two things. Number one, of seeing God's face face to face. And number two, of having his name written on us. In other words, our names and the name of God is going to be the same thing. Not only that, our appearance is going to be like him. Paul says, we don't know what we'll look like, but one thing we know, when he comes, we will be like him. What a privilege. In the entire universe, we are the only beings that are going to look like God. Number two, that will have his name. Number three, that will look at him face to face, while others will not be allowed to do so. Guess where it starts? It starts now. When Moses went into the mountain, when he came down, his face was shining. People even asked him to put a veil. Because when you spend time with God, surely your character, your face, and everything is going to change. No wonder why, when you love the things of God and you are baptized of the Spirit of God, people start calling you names, and they start saying, you think you're too spiritual, you think you're closer to God. People start calling you pastor, even if you're not a pastor. People start calling you all these holy names. Why are they doing that? Because they have seen something distinct and unique in you, that you look like God. And that's the ultimate. That's what we need to achieve, and that's what we need to attain. Never try to be close to man, but try to be close to God. Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Hey, why valagamnandu mfundisi? So I'm going to ask that, can you please pray pray that we remember all of this at the end of the day. I know there are songs that we sing when we're growing up with Sombonale, you know, that we're going to see his face when we get there. So, Pastor, if we can just please pray that even when we walk through this journey, we have that comfort that at the end of it all, we're going to meet with our Maker. We're going to have his name when we get to heaven.
Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your word that comes timely. Father, peradventure we have sinned. We pray you forgive us of our sins. You cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We present ourselves, our lives, our bodies, everything of us, we present it before your throne. And we pray that, Father, you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You impart and impute your righteousness upon us so that we can be saved. Father, as the message of the cross is spread everywhere, your word has told us that this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached unto the whole world and the end for a witness, and the end will come. And therefore, Father, we pray that when that end comes, we may be found saved. We pray that we may remember your word. Your spirit, your word tells us that the Spirit will bring to remembrance everything that we have learned. He will teach us everything and he will comfort us. That is our prayer. And we plead with you, God, that you do not let us down and that you do not leave us, but stay with us now and forevermore. Such that when the time comes when you will utter, let him that is holy remain holy, and he that is filthy remain filthy. We pray that we may remain holy, steadfast, holding on to the promises of you, O God, so that when you come, we will surely be saved. And forever are we going to be with our Maker. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, before I let you go, in a few minutes or so, can you please take this prayer request that has come through, please, on our WhatsApp line? It's quite lengthy, so the person has like four prayer requests in one go, so I'm going to read those. They are from Florence, and she's saying, good morning. I have a stepdaughter who has so much bitterness towards me, and she says she hates me naturally. She is married and has her own home. I have been praying for her. She has this bitterness, not only me, but for the other people. It's just that it's getting worse towards me. The second one, my husband had children from different marriages. Only 2 to 3 of his children care for him. Most of them, they don't even call him. I married him. He was a widow. He used to drink, etc. But now, with years of prayer, he has been ordained a deacon. And then the third prayer is that I want my prayer ministry to grow. And then the fourth one is I am leading women's ministry department at the district level in Kafue. The ministry is not yet accepted, and there is a lot of misconceptions and a lot of opposition. We need the Holy Spirit to shed light into the hearts of women and men in Kafue over this matter. So if you can please pray for that. It's from Florence.
Okay, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for Sister Florence. We thank you for our family. We want to pray in a very special way, Lord, to present our family before the throne of grace. We pray, Lord, that you forgive her of our sins and cleanse her from all unrighteousness, her and her family. We pray now with this request, especially on her daughter. We pray that that relationship may be restored. If there is a way in which they could meet up, sit, and resolve issues, I pray that you create that divine appointment filled with humility, filled with love, and willingness to answer. I pray, Lord, because I know that you have never left anyone that comes to you. And therefore, Sister Florence has come to you with her burdens of her heart. We pray that, Lord, you may answer her. You may help her, especially in the relationship with her and her daughter. I pray for her husband as well. Life can be so disturbing in many times, but we thank you that he has found salvation. Having found salvation, Lord, we pray for his family, his children, but that there may be a reconciliation in this family, that they may be able to come together in peace and dwell together and embrace one another. And I pray for a spirit of forgiveness among all of them, Lord, so that they will be able to walk ahead of this obstacle that is in front of them. And I also pray for the church. I know there are so many misconceptions on how your word and how the gospel can be spread. But Father, teach us that we should concentrate on that which brings salvation and not that which separates us. That which we do not understand, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you help them to understand. Shed light to them. help them look through the spectacles of the scripture and see that your ministry is God ordained. And we thank you that when this is said and done, we pray that many will be drawn unto you. In the name of Jesus, we also pray for many others that find themselves in similar situations or partially similar. Lord, we pray that you visit them also at their time of need and point of need and answer their prayers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for coming through throughout the whole week and helping us with the Thank Angels message and also with the prayers during this time. We hope that you're going to have a lovely, blessed Sabbath. Bye, Pastor.
Thank you so much. God bless you. And
you are tuned in to Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Indeed.